Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holichek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com, coming to you here on a Wednesday when this drops, late Tuesday night here, as it's been a busy day around the NFL. Lots of transactions being made as teams have whittled down their rosters to their initial 53. As the regular season gets closer and closer, we're going to focus on that today in this entire episode. Look at what moves the Chiefs made, what surprises maybe stood out, if any, and of course, look at some procedural moves that are also on the way, possibly here in the coming days. So, busy day around the league. We already saw the Chiefs kind of kick off some early roster moves late Monday night before Tuesday really got going, that we should address as well. The Chiefs sent offensive lineman Yasir Durant in a trade to the New England Patriots. They'll get a 2022 seventh round pick back in return. And although seventh round pick, obviously not a premium spot in the draft, I mean, you never know what picks are going to turn out to be home runs or what picks are going to turn out to, you know, change your team in the right way. You know, Durant's a guy I didn't really think would have made the roster at best. I think he would have got brought back on the practice squad. So, you know, even though, again, it's not a premium pick that the Chiefs got back in return for him, you still get probably more compensation, you know, moving Durant in the process than just simply cutting him and getting something back in return. And we've seen that a little bit more in the last few days, you know, before the 53-man roster deadline, from around the league and from a lot of other teams, you know, a lot more trades for kind of players that are not necessarily household names, guys that are kind of in that bubble spot of making the roster. And teams decided to use the trade market a little more extensively this year to try to get something a little more meaningful back in return, not losing them for free. So, that was a move that started kind of things off for the Chiefs. One of their 27 guys they had to either, you know, release, waive, or let go. And I think it's, you know, something to monitor also if you're kind of an NFL casual fan. Don't really know how this works on how the team actually lists certain players. Obviously, the difference between being waived and released, if you're waived, teams have the right to put a waiver claim in for you. And I believe waiver claims have to go through by tomorrow, basically 24 hours, I believe, is what it is after the 4 p.m. Eastern deadline the teams had today to try to get to 53. So players aren't going to be out there long, but obviously the time to put waiver claims in will be about 24 hours after the 53-man roster deadline. So those players, if a team were to put a waiver claim in for them and they go to that other team, they just play on their current contract. And we obviously saw most of the guys that were unable to make the Chiefs roster was waived rather than being released. If you're released, obviously your contract terminated with the team that you did not make, and you're free to sign anywhere else immediately. So the key thing to remember with the waiver wire is it's the same waiver wire as what we saw with the draft order. So Jacksonville would have, you know, top priority on the waiver wire for anybody that they would want to put a claim in for. You know, they'd be followed up by the New York Jets. So it's not often we see a great deal of players getting picked up on waivers right away. We see some, but I think, you know, we've seen just some different ways that teams have operated so far in trying to build their rosters. Maybe we'll see a little bit more players being picked up off of waivers. I mean, you look at one of the players the Chiefs cut, rookie fifth round pick Cornell Powell, receiver out of Clemson. I mean, he's kind of a guy that it's kind of new. I mean, it's not like it's a big percentage, but there's a lot of guys this year that were drafted that just simply did not make the team. We usually do not see that happen quite as often as it did. Powell was the only one on the Chiefs who was drafted that did not make it, and he's actually the first ever draft pick by current general manager Brett Veach not to make the team. But there was some other players out there drafted in this year's draft that were picked even higher than Powell that did not make the team. Tennessee Titans wide receiver Des Fitzpatrick, they took him pretty early on day three in the fourth round this year. They actually traded three picks to go up and get him, and he didn't make the team. So it's just kind of interesting to see, you know, teams being a little bit more willing to give up on, you know, not solidifying those spots for those rookies right away. You know, last week we saw the Ravens trade Sean Wade, who they took in the fifth round this year, to the New England Patriots. So teams are being a little more wide open and a little bit more open-minded with how they're using some of these drafted players. So I would not be surprised if Cornell Powell wound back up on the Chiefs practice squad when it's all said and done going into week one. But obviously, there's a lot still that's going to have to settle out first. I think there's also a lot of other guys that the team's looking at, you know, from other teams that were waived or cut today. I think you look at them keeping five wide receivers right now. I would not be surprised to see them look for an outside addition, you know, that was waived or cut today. John Brown is a veteran name that sticks out. Asked for his release from the Raiders. The team granted it. And, you know, he's obviously a guy. I'm not sure how his skill set would fit in currently with this team, but obviously very capable of getting the job done and providing solid production consistently at the NFL level. So, you know, the team's already had a lot of questions and a lot of things they've had to figure out in-house. So maybe making that kind of outside addition is not in the cards. But John Brown, I mean, he's a guy out there right now back on the market. You could sign him right away. I would be all for it if the Chiefs really wanted to do it. So without you know, going too far deeper into just the 53-man roster, I guess I'll just start with some of the guys who were waived and cut first. And obviously there's some big names that stand out here that we've, you know, seen either make the team before, you know, or just simply not, you know, simply not be able to really grind out a role, that they had in the past. And, you know, there's obviously some guys here like, you know, linebacker Amari Cobb, who the team brought in as a UDFA a couple of years ago. He's a guy I think has a very solid chance of being back on the practice squad, but another player that I think is worth other teams, you know, keeping an eye on and looking at. You have, you know, Damone Harris. He really did not see the field much this year in the preseason, but the Chiefs actually used him a couple of years ago, 2019, in the run-up to the Super Bowl, pretty extensively late in the regular season in sub-package roles. So he's kind of a name probably a lot of people have forgot about, but Damone Harris, they got him from the, I believe it was the Ravens a couple years ago, you know, in addition from either his practice squad or waivers. So Damone Harris is a name, not maybe as remembered or you know, in the focus like he kind of was as that depth and role player in the past. But another guy that was waived, Devin Key and Zane Anderson, those are two UDFAs that had some good preseason showings, had some good reps in training camp that were waived as well. Could easily see both back on the practice squad, especially Devin Key. I mean, the team loved him. They ran him with the ones and twos very, very late in training camp, right before the start of preseason games. But his preseason results were just not quite the same, did not quite do justice. You look at some other receivers besides Cornell Powell, who we already mentioned, Darius Shepherd, the Kansas City high school native, you know, a dream come true that he got to put the Chiefs uniform on throughout the summer here, battle for a spot. Returner, obviously, in Green Bay, thought he had a chance to maybe get a return spot here, knowing how highly the Chiefs take, you know, special teams into consideration, but just was not quite able to do that. You know, you look at Garrett Dieter. He was released. So he was not waived. He's released. He's a guy that's been with the team the last few years off and on in the practice squad. Had a couple of games 2018 in the playoffs where he was on the active roster. Made a catch a wild card game against the Colts that year. The Chiefs lost in the AFC Championship game to the Patriots. So he's a name that also was like, yo, at receiver, not really a big surprise. Initially, kind of surprising to see Marcus Kemp was released. You know, we mentioned they kept five receivers, not six. And this has kind of been reported as a procedural move. Matt Derrick, you know, who covers the team extensively, obviously a part of ChiefsDigest.com and contributes on Sports Radio 810. He kind of mentioned that Marcus Kemp will probably be brought back tomorrow after a player goes on IR. And that's obviously something that was heavily factored into the 53-man roster decisions. There's a few guys that kind of stand out that could go on IR. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif obviously suffered a broken bone in his hand later part of training camp, but early part of the preseason games, but did not play in the preseason. He's kind of the guy that I think is least likely of these three names that will go on IR, just because the initial reports that he could be ready for week one in a backup role if he had to be. Again, though, I mean, if you're put on IR tomorrow, whoever that is, you're only out for a minimum of 3 weeks. So LDT could need those 3 weeks to still get healthy. We'll see. The other two big names that make a lot more sense possibly to go on IR, another offensive lineman in Austin Blythe, the free agent signing that the Chiefs brought over from the Rams this year. He had sports hernia surgery recently, so he's kind of a guy right now that obviously the timeline on when he had the surgery between preseason games not too long ago within the last couple of weeks, you know, especially knowing the position he plays, the physical challenge at offensive line that he has to endure. He makes a lot of sense possibly going on IR. And then there was a new injury. Willie Gay, linebacker, suffered a toe injury in the final preseason game against the Vikings. The folks over at Arrowhead Live were the first ones to kind of point that out. And then Andy Reid confirmed that in his press conference today, announcing the toe injury of Willie Gay. So he's a guy that it honestly does not seem to be quite as serious of an injury as it could be, knowing, you know, the history of some guys in the league, what they've had to dealt with turf toe. But really, I think the team feels actually that they dodged a bigger bullet. The only thing is, if you put him on IR and keep him out the minimum of those three weeks, you know, obviously you allow them to use an extra linebacker. They did keep six instead of five, which a lot of people, including myself, thought they'd keep five. So now they keep six instead. And if Willie Gay is the one to go on IR, you don't obviously have to rush him back. He could get as healthy as possible and then come back hopefully as strong as possible in a year where a lot of people expect him to have a big season. So there's the opportunity there to let him rest a little more and then be as good as he possibly could be coming back. So those are kind of the three names we're watching for. Again, a procedural move. Marcus Kemp released, initially a little surprising, but now that we know kind of what the plan is with someone possibly going on IR, it makes a lot more sense. A couple other notes to list here with guys who did not make the team. Of course, Kyle Long has been on the PUP list for a while. He stayed there, so no surprise with the leg injury he's been dealing with. He'll miss at least the first 6 weeks of the season. That's the requirements once you're put on the PUP list and do not make the 53-man roster. And then, obviously, the UDFA from Georgia, Malik Herring, defensive end, reserve non-football injury list. I don't think we'll expect to see much of him, if any, this season. So those were the guys, kind of big ones that stood out to me that did not make the team. Actually, one other one, I guess, Tim Ward, yeah, defensive end, had a really, really good preseason. And again, injuries kind of made it messy for him, you know, having to keep an extra linebacker and knowing what they had to do, you know, to get guys on the 53 at first with the offensive line before making any possible procedural moves. Tim Ward, unfortunately, one of the odd guys out there. Now, I will say I was surprised they kept They kept one more defensive back than I thought they would, Chris Lammons. That was kind of a weird thing today where Mike Garafolo of NFL Network, he reported early in the day that Lammons had been waived, but that kind of changed. It looks like he was leaving the facility, and then the team called him back, actually, to say that he had made it instead of being cut. So a little bit of confusion there at first from Chris Lammons. Went from being waived to coming back and being called back to the facility and saying that he was sticking on the roster. My initial reaction from this is that special teams coach Dave Tobe really wanted Lammons more than anybody. I mean, he just does not offer much upside to me defensively right now from a, you know, being able to go snap by snap and being able to cover guys and play the football. So this is kind of a, you know, to me, choosing a guy to have on special teams over not having more depth at defensive end and Tim Ward. I think they could have gotten by with 9 defensive backs, but it is what it is. Hopefully Tim Ward is able to rejoin the team on the practice squad. He was waived, so he has a chance to go through waivers, but obviously really good preseason, would like to see him back. I really wouldn't say there was a lot of big surprises, though. I mean, certainly just some tough decisions for certain guys that had good showings either in camp or the preseason. We mentioned Tim Ward. I thought Prince Tega Wanigo actually had a good preseason showing as the second kind of left tackle. Of course, they've kind of had some other guys compete at those spots behind Orlando Brown Jr., backup left tackle role. But I thought Prince Tega did a great job in the preseason. Bo Pete Keys, I thought, had some good moments at corner, but still needs some refinement with his technique, of course. So he has a chance to probably come back on the practice squad. But yeah, overall, I mean, you look at the 53-man roster, just run through the positions real quick. And I think I was looking at my projections that I made. If you guys followed along, of course, with our 53-man roster projection articles, you saw what all I kind of projected there. Quarterback, no surprise with Mahomes and Henny being the two. 3 total running backs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Darrell Williams, Jerick McKinnon. McKinnon, obviously, versatile guy, did so many different things in the preseason so well to earn his spot on the roster. Fullback, Michael Burton. I think he's actually a little bit more athletic and a little bit more versatile than maybe what we've seen from Anthony Sherman the last couple of years when the Chiefs had him at fullback. Now he's gone. So Burton has carved out a little bit of a role for himself. It looks like Andy Reid has some stuff designed for him possibly in the passing game. And wide receivers, we mentioned they kept 5. Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle, DeMarcus Robinson, Darius Fountain. Obviously Fountain, another guy like Jerick McKinnon, came in, competed, actually really early in the summer, and he turned a workout/tryout into a roster spot. Pretty impressive for Darius Fountain, the former Northern Iowa Panther and Indianapolis Colt. Just adds a different layer, you know, to the receiver room as well. Bigger body guy, a lot more physical, but can win down the field and still separate. So really big fan of Darius Fountain making the team, of course. And as we said, Marcus Kemp did not make the 53, but he's expected to be brought back probably tomorrow. The tight ends, they kept all 4. And again, Jody Fortson, just like Darius Fountain and Jerick McKinnon, worked really, really hard to earn this spot. Travis Kelce, Blake Bell, Noah Gray, and Fortson make the team at tight end. Of course, Fortson, a guy that bounced around with the Chiefs the last couple years, receiver, tight end, back to receiver, and finally back to tight end, put in the work. Obviously, not just the receiving game, the blocking game, very noticeable in the preseason that he'd been working hard on that. So a lot of people excited, and we saw the last preseason game, the Chiefs broke out a 14 personnel set, which is 1 running back, 4 tight ends for those that do not know. And they were able to run a touchdown on that play, passing the ball to Blake Bell on a rollout to the right from Mahomes. So we're going to see a lot of multiple tight end sets this year. Chiefs knowing after their Super Bowl loss, they had to change up the offense a little bit. And I got to say, I really think all 4 guys have a pretty good shot of providing significant production this year. I think the opportunities will be there. I think even Blake Bell will have a little bit more receiving production than he did a couple of years ago when he was with the Chiefs. So really excited that Jody Fortson made the roster. And obviously this group, you know, all the expectations continue to go up for them. Really good to see. 10 offensive linemen total were kept. Orlando Brown Jr., Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, Lucas Niang obviously looked like the starting group. That's what it was all three preseason games, and all five have performed pretty well together. The communication continues to you know, get more time, and Andy Reid talked about that a little bit today, that that's continuing to go in the right direction. And obviously there could still be, you know, a work in progress. Obviously three rookies from center to right tackle starting next to each other, but I mean, you look at how they played in the preseason, just the football IQ that a lot of these guys have on the offensive line, but especially from the rookies. That's what's been really impressive so far. And the pride they've taken in protecting Patrick Mahomes, you can easily just see it jump off the screen. Backup offensive lineman the team keeps. Not a lot of surprises here. Mike Remmers, Nick Allegretti, Andrew Wiley, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and Austin Blythe. We'll see if anything, you know, changes if those guys are moved to IR, the two we mentioned with LDT and Blythe. Nine defensive linemen kept: Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Jaron Reed, Derek Nnadi, Tershawn Wharton, Colin Saunders, Mike Dana, Alex Okafor, and Josh Kando. If you guys have been following me the last couple of weeks talking about this group during the preseason games or even in other podcast episodes here, I think this group is going to be a lot better than people realize in the defensive line this year. Of course, Frank Clark dealing with the hamstring issue. We'll see if he's able to be active or ready or not for week one. But even without him, I mean, this group has performed well when they've been given the chance to. Mike Dana, I mean, quickly looks like a guy that can play a two-way player very effectively. You know, Colin Saunders looks a lot more aggressive and faster, you know, coming off a year where he was inactive as a healthy scratch last year in some games and also dealt with an injury with the elbow injury. So, Josh Kando, as raw as he looked as a fourth-round pick coming into the season, he's really turned it around, showed some noticeable burst, you know, not thinking too much, you know, about having to create pass rush counters. I'm really impressed with Josh Kando the last couple of preseason games as well. So I think this group will be better than people expect. Again, really would have liked to seen Tim Ward make the group as well. But again, just, you know, injury questions and procedural moves on the way with how they had to kind of fit certain positions numbers-wise. It just was not in the cards. But, yeah, six linebackers kept: Anthony Hitchens, Willie Gay. We'll see if he goes on IR with that toe injury or not. Nick Bolton, Ben Neiman, Dorian O'Daniel, and Darius Harris. You guys, obviously, if you read my linebacker projection article, Dorian O'Daniel, I projected he'd make the roster. But another one there where it's just kind of like, you know, Dave Tope getting his guy, a special teamer through and through, not going to provide much defensively. Darius Harris, I like him a lot as a defensive guy. Maybe not as much of a special teamer for the Chiefs, but Darius Harris showed some stuff late last year in a couple of games against the Falcons and Chargers. So he's a guy that can work a little bit downhill and provide some sneaky good coverage if given the opportunity. So Nick Bolton's kind of the guy I expect to start in early downs if Willie Gay is out for a few weeks to begin the year. You have Ben Neiman obviously going to see certain snaps as well in coverage. You know, hopefully he can improve on that a little bit more. When targeted, he's given up, you know, obviously about 80% or more completion percentage is what's been the numbers for him the last couple of years. So hopefully he can improve in that coverage game a little bit. And then 10 total defensive backs. We mentioned Chris Lammons snuck in after initially thinking that he was going to be waived. Along with him, the other corners, you got L'Jarius Sneed, Charvarius Ward, Mike Hughes, DeAndre Baker, Rashad Fenton. We haven't seen Fenton in a while dealing with an injury, but I think this group, kind of like the D-line, I wouldn't say my expectations are as high for this group as the D-line, but I still think they're going to be a little bit better than people think. I mean, Mike Hughes has come in and just done a tremendous job after being acquired in the trade with the Vikings early in the offseason, and he's a guy that dealt with a lot of injuries. If he can stay healthy, though, you know, the coverage, man coverage that he provides, perfect fit in this defense, and he has some sneaky good hit power. Obviously, the speed has been there since his days at UCF, so Mike Hughes really excited about him. And we know L'Jarius Sneed, he could be, you know, one of the best corners in the league. I mean, he was arguably the best cornerback as a rookie, among the rookie corners last year. So, and even DeAndre Baker, I mean, ever since he's come into this system, he's looked really, really comfortable in man coverage. Another guy that can press at the line of scrimmage, play man coverage deep down the field, and stay with receivers. And then you got four safeties that the team kept. Not a lot of surprises here. Tyrann Mathieu, Juan Thornhill, Daniel Sorensen, Armani Watts. And then, of course, the last three spots on the 53 go to the specialist with Harrison Butker, kicker, Tommy Townsend, punting, and James Winchester, the long snapper. I think, like I said, my biggest surprise is Tim Ward not making it. Obviously, the results we saw from, you know, the receiver room and the moves that we expect on the way, that's going to be interesting to follow for sure. Like we said, who goes on IR? So, I think that's obviously the ones there. And looking back at my projections for the 53-man roster, I think I was about all but three or four I got correct. Of course, initially projected Cornell Powell to make it. I think I just took the draft pick compensation they invested into him, even though it was a mid-day three pick. I thought, the Chiefs were going to try to work it out with him, and obviously he could still be brought back on the practice squad. But no, I mean, these guys around him earned it. You could just see it. I mean, you could see if you watched the last preseason game, a couple of times they tried to throw at Cornell Powell and they went to the sideline view of Andy Reid and he was just shaking his head. And it's pretty clear, you know, Andy Reid this year being a lot more critical of certain players that aren't getting the job done and praising those a little more that are, as far as ones that really had to prove themselves. So really interesting to see from that perspective. But yeah, I think all in all, like I said, great stories for Jerick McKinnon and especially Jody Fortson, Darice Fountain. Those guys certainly earned their jobs. Going to be interesting to see, you know, what kind of opportunities they're given in the offense, because obviously not the focal points, but guys that are still going to provide a nice little wrinkle, an extra layer to the offense that, you know, the team has not necessarily had from those spots on those depth charts the last couple few years with Mahomes. So it's really exciting to see. Obviously, a lot still fluid before we play the first game. Injuries, what's going to happen with the IR spots? What's going to happen with waivers? Who's making the practice squad? Of course, you guys can follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Chiefs to stay tuned to all of that latest news there. We had a lot, obviously, to go through today on Tuesday. At least when I'm recording this, if you guys are listening to this on Wednesday, we may already know some of the guys that have made the Chiefs practice squad. So we'll await that news. Of course, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @BradenHolacek9. Like I said, follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Chiefs. If you guys want to follow the main Full Press Coverage NFL Twitter account, it is at @FullPressNFL. If you're looking for daily video content as well, Full Press Coverage FPC Radio Live with Ian Lendon weekday mornings, 9 a.m. Eastern, I believe, is the time there. And you also have Dylan and Ross Save Sports, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Obviously, those guys do a tremendous job, and their coverage of the New Orleans Saints, you know, obviously sticks out right now just because of what New Orleans is dealing with. And Hurricane Ida was reported today that Sean Payton, Saints head coach, said the team will probably be away from New Orleans for at least the first quarter of the season. So very disappointing and sad news. Obviously hoping and praying that everybody stays safe there in New Orleans. Pretty crazy. 16 years to the day after Katrina hit land, that Ida reached landfall as well on Sunday. So hoping that everybody stays safe there, and obviously that those two stay safe as well. And they do a tremendous job. So if you guys want to go follow their daily video content there, you guys can go to YouTube, search Full Press Coverage, or even Facebook. It's there, like I said, 5 p.m. Eastern weekdays, whenever they have a show. Obviously, stuff a little more fluid right now. So stay tuned, though, for the latest from them. They do such a great job. Of course, like we said, more articles More tweets coming on the way. Got some really exciting topics that I'm excited to get it out there article-wise here over the next week as we have some dead time a little bit here between the end of the preseason and roster cuts and then the first regular season game against the Cleveland Browns. So obviously stay tuned for all of our latest articles. We'll have another podcast episode as well to end this week heading into Labor Day weekend. And with that, enjoy it out there. Stay safe. If you obviously are close to Louisiana or the hurricane, we hope that everybody stays safe out there. And that's it. Have a good Wednesday, and we will see you guys next time.